Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Number two, Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Make sure you download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and get to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. All the podcasts are there, all the latest news in Boston sports there as well. I can tell you, I went on the app last night, so
yep.
I went back and listened to hour number two of Felger and Maz from 2 days ago.
The Terry Bradshaw one?
Was it good?
I mean, if you're starting up in this business, and you're thinking... What is a good example for us to listen to as to how you do an interview with a super famous person?
Oh, it was awesome.
You bring him in. It is just quintessential, perfect sports radio interview.
Forget the interview. The interview sort of sucked. Felger's meltdown in segment two of that hour was awesome.
Felger hates interviews.
What do you meltdown over?
Oh, he hates doing interviews.
He hates it.
And he apparently left it up to the group. And the group was like, yeah, let's do it. It's Terry Bradshaw, yeah. And he's typically a good guest. We had him on at the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Yep.
He's one of the best guests we've ever had. He was fun. He was engaging. He was willing to talk about whatever it is you wanted to talk about.
Perfect guest because he hated Chuck Noll. They never got along.
But he called on a bad phone. Bad phone.
Oh, that's the killer for Felger, too, isn't it? Like, that's if that's your starting point, you're not getting anywhere with Felger.
I wish I had been watching. Because had I been watching, you would have seen
the facial expressions
that I'm sure were priceless.
Maybe for the holiday, they could do a special hour two rebroadcast of that interview.
And he's got a bad phone, and Felger's got to put him on hold. And then they get to the end of the interview, and Felger, you can hear the click. He could not hang up fast enough on Terry Bradshaw. And then he screams, "We'll get our show back next." And then he goes on a melt. It's awesome. So check it out, 98.5thesportshub.com.
It's actually Felger.
It's the Monday show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bert Breer is with us, and the Patriots are now 10-1, Bert. They get another win on Sunday against the Cowboys, and they're in a position now where they may only have one more loss before they are losing their top seed. We think the Ravens have one more loss left in them. That's what we think.
So they play San Francisco this week.
And that could be the one.
That's a potential loss.
San Francisco, Buffalo, Cleveland, Pittsburgh.
Buffalo's tough.
Tough, but
I don't think they beat them.
I don't think Buffalo wins the game.
Buffalo, by the way, is the most consistent team in the league.
They keep chugging away, man.
They beat all the bad teams. They lose to all the good teams.
They got Cowboys tomorrow.
Unbelievably consistent. Where, like, if you look at their record, they're 7-1 against teams with winning records. The one loss is to 5-6 Cleveland, and then they're 1-2 against teams with winning records. One win is against 6-5 Tennessee.
I would say
they play like totally level.
You know, I get that, and I know how some people would look at that and say, "Oh, that's a fraud team or a bad team."
It's like a sign of a well coached team.
I look at that and say that's good coaching, and that's a team that's at least heading in the right direction and really building towards something. That's what you're supposed to do. You coach well and you beat the bad teams.
Right.
That's step one in building a program.
You don't want your if you're all over the map, you're not well coached. Like, if you don't know what team you're getting on a week-to-week basis.
Cleveland, that's it.
Like, this is exactly it. But Cleveland, we don't know what we're getting on a week-to-week basis. With Buffalo, you have a good idea. I mean, when the Patriots beat them, that was a dogfight, right? And they may not have won.
You know, the defense is never the issue when you play them.
But you got a good performance. Right. It felt like at the end of that game, Buffalo gave you everything they had.
So if the Ravens have one more loss, then the Patriots can afford one more loss.
Ravens at Bills is going to be tough.
And that's sort of a tough position to be in.
God, I'd love to go to that game.
Because I think it's really important that this team not have just a bye, but have the number one seed.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, we talked about this on TV last night, and like, and I don't think it's so much having home field isn't so much about what it means for the Patriots, because I think they're fine on the road. I think it's what it means to the other team. I think for a team with a young quarterback, like a team with a quarterback in his second year like Lamar Jackson, I just think that there's, like, I'm way more comfortable at home.
Yeah, there's a bigger advantage for you in having the other team have to go on the road.
Right. It's not you, it's them.
You'd be fine going on the road.
It's not you, it's them.
I don't love them going to Baltimore. Right. Not so much because I don't think the Patriots could play under those conditions.
It's that they're going to be more comfortable.
It's that Lamar Jackson would be so much more comfortable playing at home.
Yep.
And would be so much better at home versus what he would be here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just necessarily about you dealing with having to play on the road and being afraid of going on the road. We talked a lot about this last year with Kansas City. I feel like we're going down this road again. The Patriots beat Kansas City on the road. And that was a great win. That was a...
It's the best one of the year.
Historic.
That was a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Marquee type of win in the Belichick-Brady era.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't really know. I don't know if we know what Kansas City is yet. Like, I just... They haven't been healthy all year.
My point is, I just don't know if they can pull it off in back-to-back years. What they did last year
in
Kansas City, and I don't believe they're the same team.
Because
offensively, they wouldn't be able to do the things they did in that game right now.
Because what they did in the last two games, the margin for error was pretty small, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what they did in the last two games, like, the difference in the Super Bowl was just a freaking unbelievable throw and catch from Brady and Gronk that made the difference.
Yep.
And in Kansas City, I mean, that was... I really just about you wearing their defense out, you know, and like, and in the end you wind up winning, but it took D Ford lining up offsides to get that one. So it's just like when the margin for error is that small, it's hard to, you don't want the margin for error to be smaller than that.
617-779-0985.
I want to ask Bert too about the Ravens. Can they peak too early? Cause I said this yesterday.
Yeah.
I said, not that you're going to peak too early. You know teams do this or historically have done it and then it falls off. Mm-hmm. Some teams just roll right through the playoffs. You look at Jackson, what he's been able to do.
Yep.
Now, he had a great night the other night.
Unbelievable.
He threw the ball 20 times.
Yeah.
I mean, what did
he's,
you make?
He, you know, he's... He
do you is, see advancements?
He's week gotten week, more okay? accurate, though. And I will say
this. But I mean,
this.
They're accurate underneath throws. These are like zing throws.
He's the right kind of kid. Like that, and I think that's just a huge.
But it really, part it's
a
drag,
huge
it's
part seen, of this.
It's not deep dig. It's not deep throws.
Right,
they're short throws.
But because of the threat that their run game brings, they don't need to make every throw on the route tree.
What if Ingram goes down for them?
That's a problem.
There you go.
Because
okay,
because
that's here, how that's everybody says. How do you stop? I say I think that's how you stop.
The running back's more important to them than it would be to other teams. And I think it's so smart the way they built the team, because you look last year. What did the Chargers do to them in the playoffs? The Chargers put 7 DBs on the field, right? And said, okay, we need to be able to run with Lamar Jackson. We're going to put a bunch of safeties at linebacker. We're going to play you with 6 or 7 DBs
they made him look
on
foolish.
Every single play, right?
Yeah.
So what do the Ravens do? Try putting 7 DBs in against Mark Ingram now, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so in essence, what they've got is a team that's, you've got your downhill back and your change of pace burner in the game at the same time. And that's really, really hard to deal with. Now, to your point, as far as like how different this is going to be at the end of the year. Like when the Ravens play teams a second time, I do think it's a little different. The Chargers, when they played them in the playoffs, they'd played them 3 weeks earlier. The Browns beat them earlier this year. The Browns had played the Ravens, this version of the Ravens, before. And so I do think that there's that piece of it where until you've actually seen it, I don't think it's about like to me, it's like it's more about like having played against it and having the timing of it and everything else than it is the scheme. Players who've played against it will tell you how it messes with their eyes.
Yeah.
How you can't really prepare for it. McVay said it the other night, like, until you've actually seen the guy and had to tackle him, you can't simulate that.
I said this too, and I think one of the biggest things, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, his ability to ride Ingram on that read stuff. I think his hands are so freaking quick, and he could do it more uncanny than any other quarterback that I've seen, where he'll look, he'll watch you, he'll keep the ball, and he'll pull it out or put it back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not deliberate to where you kind of have it, you take two hands, you ride the back down inside, you pull it, you reseat it. It's street ball with him. It's almost like, it's almost uncoachable stuff with him.
Yeah.
Like Lamar, you go be you.
Yeah.
Run the option right.
Right.
Like you had to bust a play the other night. He drops the ball, drops a snap.
Yeah.
Picks it up on a little delay, scoots up inside, it trips going into the end zone. Should have scored.
Yeah.
Like he creates.
His instincts are ridiculous.
They're ridiculous.
I mean, and if you take a false step, you're screwed. Like that's the other part of it. Like if you take a false step against him, you are in big, big trouble. And I mean, look, I think the scheme is sound. I think he's made real advancements. He's way more accurate than he was last year. There were a couple throws he made the other night that were legitimate throws. He's playing quarterback more than he was a year ago. I do think that there's an element of it where if you see it a second time, it does make a difference.
Sure.
And so I think we saw that with the Chargers. We saw that when the Browns beat them earlier this year. It'll be interesting to see. I think they play the Steelers the last game of the year. I'm going to be really interested to see what a pretty good Steelers defense does against him. Because I'm not talking blueprint, but it's just going to be interesting to see what a team with real players like the Steelers have, how they play against him when they see him a second time.
Bert Breer is with us. Let's talk about this weekend's game. It's Houston for the Patriots as they go back on the road. We'll talk about that. And also Jack Easterby, because he's there now. And
he
don't
sure
forget,
is.
Nick Caserio may have flirted with the Texans at some point and may still end up there at some point. Mm-hmm. All worth discussing ahead of this game on Sunday. We'll do that with Bert Breer coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertrand.
We'll be talking to Kyle Van Noy this hour. Can't tell you exactly when, but it could be any minute. Bert Breer is with us from the MMQB. Patriots are on to Houston this weekend for a Sunday night football matchup with the Houston Texans. Interesting that these two teams meet now, given that Houston, I don't know, is sort of getting exposed, if you ask me. And I just don't believe in this team. I don't believe in Houston as a real contender in the AFC. I don't care where they are.
It's the first time in years. First time in years where prepping to play them and you don't mention Clowney or Watt.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's like, really weird.
And I think that they were
really the only guy that got
I think they were dealing okay with the injury to Watt. And I think Romeo does a great job with that, like, because they have had a lot of guys hurt over the years.
Well, Watt's been hurt a lot.
But when yes. but the difference is in the past when Watt was hurt, they still had Clowney
and Merciless. Like,
right. And so
beasts.
and now losing like Watt, you don't have Clowney and you're just sort of making it work around Merciless, who's a really good player. But probably isn't like your prototype number one right. pass rusher.
Who's that big son of a bitch I had like years past, like 94? He was huge.
Not
was
Reader,
it
is it? You're thinking
no.
of Reader? No. Antonio Smith was years ago, though.
Okay. Well, yeah. He was a Letterman jacket.
I mean, Antonio Smith was a Letterman jacket.
He was one of the biggest men I've ever seen.
Yep. I mean, they're still good on offense. They're still going to present a lot of problems for you in offense. And I actually like what Bill O'Brien has done with the offensive line. Like, it's sort of like what the Colts did a year ago, where they've invested a lot. And I think it has potential to really work in time. So offensively, offensively, they're going to create problems for you. Their defense has not been very good.
And they're 0-5. With Bill O'Brien as the head coach against Bill Belichick.
Which
he hasn't been able to beat the mentor.
Just, they're a good matchup for you.
It's at the point where it sort of feels like a little bit of a hex. Like, even then, this goes back to Gary Kubiak being the coach, too.
All right, so in the offseason, there were the rumors of Nick Caserio going to Houston, possibly.
Those were more than rumors. That was happening.
It turns out it was more than rumor, and it may or may not have involved Jack Easterby, correct?
Yeah. And so I tell you this, like, what I remember from it, I think the Crafts were not pleased with the way that went down. And I would say one of the biggest issues they had was how Jack Easterby, on his way out, how it was, whether it was him or his people, whatever it was. And I'm not going to get into that part of it.
How does he have people? He's a former minister.
Well, he hired Bob Lamont as his agent. You know that?
Unbelievable. Yeah, now all of a sudden this guy's planning football teams. Like,
so
all of a sudden he's elevated to GM status.
So I think that there's a little bit of, like, you know, the televangelist who, like, just happens to, like, fly around in a private jet.
Yeah.
There's like a little bit of that.
There's a little bit of that. And I think some of the players read into that, and I know there are a lot of guys that are big fans of Jack Easterby.
Oh, there are.
I know there's a faction that aren't.
Yeah. Well, no, and there are a lot of players. That's the weird thing about him was, like, he was basically Bill's. He was the guy who kind of like almost like a quality control guy over the coaches. Like, so, like, everyone in the football ops side, coaches, scouts, were sort of like, if you saw Jack Easterby, it's like you're being graded by him.
Right.
And he was sort of the guy who was there
to Flash Gordon got here. He took care of Flash.
He's the guy. He was the guy. Like, his job was, like, mainly to kind of keep the train on the tracks, right? Like, everything needs to be running a certain way.
He always rode on bus one.
Right.
He's always there.
Yeah. And so And so I think that there was that. What was amazing about him was you would talk to people about him, and it was like they were scared of him, but they still loved him. Like a lot of people, you see Jack Easterby, it's like almost like the principal walking.
Well, I think they were clear. What is he? Who does he report to?
Right.
And who is he watching? And what is he talking about?
Yep. Yep. And so
he's not football. He's not football ops.
Right.
He's not football. He's not a game plan guy. What?
And I know the people in Houston, because there are a lot of New England people there. When he got there, they sort of like everyone's radar went up. It was like, okay, like this is the head coach's guy. You know?
Yeah.
And so I think the big problem that, so I think the Kraft's like, if you want to go back to how that happened and why the whole thing came apart at the end, I think a huge part of it was in February and March when Jack Easterby was leaving, he had sort of, word had gotten out there, oh, Jack Easterby's got a problem with what happened with the Kraft, with Robert Kraft in Florida. And morally, he can't be here anymore. And I think the Krafts looked at that and said, well, wait a second, you hired an agent. You've been putting word out about how you'd like to be an executive. So don't give me that, like you morally have a problem.
This is
so you
why
have to leave.
You need to go somewhere
right.
else.
Yeah, you've yeah, been yeah. positioning yourself for over a year to go and move up somewhere else. So don't stick this on us. And I think that was, I don't think the Kraft family took kindly to that. So then for him to come back in June to the ring ceremony and basically try to haul Nick out of there with him, and Nick and Jack are close. Nick and Bill O'Brien are close. I think the Krafts looked at that and said, no way. We are not letting this happen. And so that, I mean, I think Nick was of a mind to go. Like, I think this was the one for Nick. And it's unfortunate that he sort of got caught in the crossfire, but there were a lot of politics.
Is he still going to go?
I think it's
a long...
I think that...
That's a long one there.
I think, well, just here's why.
You know what? A couple months ago, yes. Now it's like...
Now it's, well, know. Well, I do think...
What if Josh goes somewhere?
So there's always the... But that's, see, I think with both Nick and Josh, there's this feeling like, are they ever going to leave?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's always that sort of feeling there.
No, but like, say
but for Nick, this is so perfect. I mean, for one thing, and I will dispel this, I think there's like this notion out there that Nick's going to go somewhere with Josh. Everyone I've talked to that knows all of those guys says that Nick was closer to Billy at the end before he left than he was to Josh. And that Bill O'Brien lines up with Nick a little bit more personality-wise than he does with Josh.
I'd agree with that.
And here's what I think is key. Nick also knows this. He's got a very unique job here. Most places, if you put the GM on the headset,
yeah,
the coach is going to be like, what the hell is going on here? Like, how many places can he go where he can be on the headset on game day?
Oh, he's part of the game day deal, man.
Right.
Like, that's the one thing that's amazing to me.
Like, job.
I thought there was going to be separation and people's feelings were going to get hurt. Toes got stepped on. And then you watch him operate on game day. He comes out, Bill talks. They both, same day game operation. Nick Sinner, he's throwing the guys. Yep. You know, and then boom, he's hustling with the coaches. He's going up. He's on headset upstairs in the booth,
yep.
in the coach's booth. I don't see any change or difference in that relationship, whether on game or in the building.
What I've heard is Nick loves that part of the job.
Yeah.
I've heard Nick loves that part of the job, that he's almost
he's
a quasi-coach, right?
Yeah.
And it'd be very hard. And I think Nick's smart enough to know how hard it would be to recreate that somewhere else without the head coach thinking that you're stepping on his toes.
See, what's weird is
that... And that's what makes Houston unique, is that he can do that in Houston, right? Like, because he was that guy.
Still be able to do it?
He was that guy with Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien would let him keep doing it.
Well, he's in Josh's ear on the game day here now. He was in Bill O'Brien's ear on game day when they were together here, whatever it was now, 8 years ago. So
see, there's places where, like, down in Atlanta, Thomas Dimitroff puts on a four-piece suit, slicks his hair, and he watches the game with Arthur Blank next to us in the booth. And he claps with him. Like, that's what that GM is required to do.
It's a very, like, Nick's job's unique. There are not, I
agree with you on that.
I think part of Nick wanting to be a GM, anybody's professional aspiration would be probably, right? Like, in that position, like, eventually I want to run my own show. If he could find a place where he can recreate what he has here and take that step and become a GM, I think that would be very appealing to him. And you add that to the relationship he's got with Bill O'Brien. That's damn near perfect, isn't
it? So that's a long way of you saying, yes, he's going to Houston in the offseason. He's going there
for
next year.
But the question with him has always been, does he have the stomach to walk?
I take it both ways.
Does he have the stomach to walk?
You can't see it, but also, it's got it pretty good here.
Yeah.
He may wait with Josh.
But he hasn't signed a contract extension.
No. He's free agent at the end of the year.
And we saw this with all
the
coaches.
When does that run through? It runs through the draft, right?
Through the draft, yeah.
Okay.
And so, and the Texans are perfectly capable now, the way they're set up, because they've been operating without a GM, they could do that through the draft and then just hire him after the draft. if the Patriots were insistent on keeping him through the draft, which maybe they will be because he's got so much proprietary information.
617-779-0985. Kevin is in the truck today. Kevin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
What's up? What's up?
Hey, so tomorrow morning I fly out. I'm going to Houston until Monday. I go to a Pats game every year. This will be my first time traveling to an away game.
Nice.
Super pumped. So, Zoe, I got two questions for you.
Yes,
one,
sir.
I know you're a foodie because I can hear your potato chips crunching in my ear while I'm driving today.
Good. Very good.
So, with that being said, I need some suggestions. I need some places to eat while I'm out there.
Are you looking for a good steakhouse?
Yes.
Okay. Like, there's so many, like, barbecue steak joints. Like, Taste of Houston is good.
Yeah.
There's another place called Vic and Anthony's is downtown. That's my favorite steakhouse down there. But there's another good one if you want. If you want a Texas feel, it's called the Taste of Houston.
I got one of the best barbecue places in the country for you.
Goody Barbecue. If you're going to barbecue,
go to Killen's Barbecue.
Killen's is good.
Killen's is a place where they have a certain amount of meat every day, and they just serve till they run out.
Right.
And you'll probably have to wait in line, but it's old school Texas barbecue,
old school cafeteria style.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's another place. It's by Reliance Stadium. They have multiple locations now. It's called Goody, G-O-O-D-E Barbecue. You will not be disappointed.
There you go.
All right.
All of your recommendations for your Houston trip.
There it is.
This weekend.
Looks pretty good though, right, Beetle?
It's the name of the place we went to.
It was some crap place in some mall. Never let Jim Louth drive.
I wouldn't say it was crap.
We should see if we could determine where that place was.
No shot.
Go back on my history of Google Maps.
It was under party. It was under an overpass close to our hotel.
There's no shot we'd be able to figure out where the hell we were.
It was in the hood. I know that.
Oh, it wasn't.
Oh, it was shady.
It was not shady at all.
I said lock the doors when we got out.
That's because you're afraid of everything.
And I wasn't driving.
Who drove?
I was driving.
Where was I? I was screaming at someone.
Beetle drove everywhere in Houston.
Yeah, but who had the map? It was Jim.
Okay.
Right?
It was somewhere out on the Sam Houston Tollway.
Oh, Christ.
So we're out in Alameda. I bet we can figure this out.
All right. Well, you work on figuring that out.
I'm working on that. You do the
open phone lines.
They gave me free pie, and I didn't even like pie.
Jump
and
on board.
Extra sauce.
617-779-0985. We'll go to more of your calls with Bert Breer after this, and we'll have Kyle Van Noy this hour as well.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Reports surfacing today.
Mike Sando.
Whoa.
Oh, shoot.
Boy.
Sorry, jump that. You all right, buddy? Hold on.
Hold on one second here. You go deal with that. I'll continue doing this. Bert Breer had a little incident here, people. If that's what you're wondering, what happened? He fell off our fancy new stage. You all right, Bert? You okay? I want to make sure everyone's doing okay. All right, we're good.
That was awesome.
That was a hard fall. You took a dive.
You're a lady.
I can't remember how I fell. Did
your
I fall
leg,
like my?
You went right ass over tea kettle, dude, on your back.
Okay.
You had that one.
Maybe I blocked it out, or maybe I was concussed. I don't know.
Remember we had those.
I don't remember the details
those
of it.
Netted chairs, and they had four legs, and the one leg went right off.
That's
the stage.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, one of the four legs just.
It was tight quarters. Yeah, it was tight quarters on that stage.
Yeah.
It was kind of awkward too because we weren't like really looking at each other at all. We're all like looking out, right?
Yeah.
It was a kind of like a weird setup that
way. Well, we had people that would show up and watch the show, like Lorraine and her friend. And
Mike Sando.
Whoa.
Oh, shoot.
Boy.
I just kept that. You all right, buddy? Hold on.
Hold on one second.
I got like garlic.
You go deal with that. I'll continue doing this.
Courageous effort by me to continue with the show.
Do you have the waitress asking?
Are you all right?
I'll continue doing this.
You all right, guys?
Sounds like Aaron Andrews.
Are you all right?
Doesn't she sound like Aaron Andrews?
Are you dead?
Aaron Andrews doing some weird new show from a cold tub. Do you see that?
No.
It's very, very, like,
what's
I don't
a
know.
Cold tub?
Like an actual cold tub.
So she sits in it?
Yeah, with like a celebrity. It's very strange.
Oh. Are they clothed?
Partially. So now, now
I was like,
what's that web address again?
All right, Aaron Andrews with Kevin Hart.
Yep.
Why did he put me here in the cold tub? He is funny. He's my favorite comedian.
Here you go.
Did you see him in that movie Get Hard with Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
That's great radio.
That's like a dust mite.
It's wonderful.
That don't We're just crushing it here on the day before Thanksgiving. Yeah, no,
it's wonderful. Mo is in Brooklyn. Mo.
What's up, Mo?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Mo.
I wanted to ask about the run game. We got Isaiah Wynn back now. A lot of talk about the offensive line.
Mo!
Guess he doesn't want to talk about the run game anymore.
Mo!
Run game was better the other night.
Okay.
Sony ran decisive. They went around left end to get it started. You see how they went around Wynn? Just to
Jaguars are making Tom Coughlin available today.
Oh, interesting. Oh, what's that all about?
Oh.
Let's get to Kyle Van Noy. Kyle Van Noy is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And Kyle Van Noy is with us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Kyle.
What's happening, fellas? Happy Thanksgiving to Zoe, Burr, and I hear Brewer's on as well.
So yeah, that's right. Brewer's here, too. Sorry.
You guys.
Yeah.
We're all
happy
here.
Thanksgiving, Kyle.
What's up?
Yeah.
He's all here.
I'm chilling, man. Are y'all ready or what? What's up? What questions we got today? Hey. We got some good energy today?
We always good energy.
What about the turkey bowl?
Hey, do you get to participate in Thanksgiving tomorrow?
Would you like eating? Of course. I love food. So, of course, I'm going to handle food. I mean, that's key to success on Thanksgiving is, you know, eating some good pies, and we do kind of non-tradition, you know.
Ooh.
Turkey's fine. We, you know, last year we did fried chicken and ribs.
Hell yeah.
This year, I don't know what wifey's cooking up. She's got control this year, so she's going to cook some fire food. She's a good cook.
So you guys got like a half day at work tomorrow?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm gonna let Bill answer that one.
Yeah. I saw Shelton at your fundraiser. How much does Shelton eat?
Oh man.
What's he eat?
He eats humans.
Whole animals.
Nasty.
Hey Zoe, real quick though, before we get started, I saw your little highlight tape you got for the game. What's up with that?
Oh, you like that? That's me up in the box. Yeah, that's a new digital.
You like that?
I don't know. They just film me. I don't even know they do that.
Are you nervous now for different crazy answers?
You think I can? Dude, it's been going on for a while. Like, that's my energy. That's what I bring.
But I also think it's weak that Bertrand's in the back just like picking his nose, not really getting hype. What's up with that?
He wants some energy from you.
He's not on the broadcast. Mark, he's bobbing myself.
I would disagree on that video.
He's getting ready for the halftime show.
I think if you go back and watch during the touchdown or the block punt, I was very excited.
Tell me how long your day is.
That's fair. I was talking the overall consistency.
Right.
And you're right. You do have a good point. You don't have a headset on, and
he's got a 10-hour day, Kyle. He's got three-hour pregame, three-hour postgame.
I respect that.
Louth got bagged biting his nails on that video this week. He's very self-conscious now.
I was just like a fan right there, you know, being like a play, you know, examining a player, talking trash, having no idea,
breaking it down.
You guys put me in my place, so I appreciate that.
Did you get Zoe's tweet? Did Zoe tag you in that tweet?
I didn't tag him.
Oh, yet. You didn't tag him. We were talking about it yesterday.
I was watching that Good Morning Football show the day after, and they were doing their new power rankings. And you guys came in at number 5. Just so you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
asterisk, though, because they do still believe in you that you still always got that quality that you could always creep into that top 3.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. We're still grinding. I mean, we are 10-1, so it is what it is. People still continue to doubt us, and that's okay. Like, we're going to continue to grind. We know we're getting better each and every week, offensively, defensively, and special teams. We just keep improving, and we're just trying to stack them up right now. We're not too focused on what the outside people say just because we're so focused right now on ourselves and getting better and ready for this run.
Hey, we always hear how the weather affects, you know, offensive players and ball handling and everything else. That looked pretty nasty out there on Sunday. How does it affect a defensive player and what you guys are doing?
You know, for us, we just got to focus on those fundamentals, you know, just focus focus in on tackling, using your hands on the blocks, just because you got to be it's extra slippery out there. The jerseys are slippery, so you got to, you know, your hand placement has to be really key. Just focus on those little things, and then the other everything else will fall into place. I think you want to do that each and every game, but just in a weather game, when you know they're going to try to get the ground game going, you just got to focus up that much more and stopping it.
Was Zeke the toughest back you've had to tackle all year as far as just his leg turn?
I think he ran pretty hard, actually. Chubb ran
Chubb,
really,
that's right, Chubb.
Really good. So
Ingram.
Ingram, Lamar. You know, we've played so many, and I would have to sit down and really think about it. But, yeah, I would say he was up there. He ran pretty good.
We're talking with Patriots linebacker Kyle Van Noy, Deshaun Watson this week, another guy that can use his legs if need be. What are some of the challenges in getting ready for him?
I think a little bit of everything. I mean, you've seen him over the course of this season. He's been throwing the deep ball pretty well. He's been doing a lot more staying in the pocket, making throws. He still scrambles, but I think he wants to showcase his arm talent, his IQ that he's gotten better as a pocket passer and is much improved in that category. And I just think all around he's gotten a lot better this year. And I think it's going to be a really hard challenge because definitely got to worry about him getting outside the pocket. He's very, very mobile, very good at that, and just try to do our best to contain him.
Does the game take on a different look at all when the other coaching staff sort of has this kind of institutional knowledge of the program? You know, obviously with Billy having been the OC and Romeo having been the DC here in the past.
Yeah, I think they know us and we know them. They've been here, and Bill and the other coaches that have coached with them and against them for a lot while over the years, we're very familiar with each other. As players, you know, we've played them I don't know how many times straight in the last couple years. Some years we've played them two times in a year. So I think our familiar with them and them they're familiar with us is really high, and I think it just comes down, you know, I know they're in the division AFC, but it's almost like they're in the AFC East. We've played them so many times. Hey, so it's just go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying we've played them a lot, you know, so many times that I feel like we do know each other very well. And obviously it's going to probably come down to the wire game since, you know, we're not going to be surprised if stuff they're doing, and they're not going to be surprised with much we're doing since we're very familiar with them.
Hey, Cal, after the Super Bowl last year, there was a lot made about, you know, Jack Easterby and him going down with the Texans, and Nick's name, you know, came around and then, you know, kind of got caught in the tug and pull back and forth, and, you know, Nick's still here as the GM. How much were you involved with Jack Easterby when he's here? What did he do for you guys?
Yeah, Jack's a good man. Jack did a lot. He really is a good man. I'm happy for his success. He deserves a lot of success. He works really, really hard at just doing what he does. I'm not going to say what he does because it's special. It's unique. He's a man of God, so that comes before anything he does. But at the end of the day, all he cares about is just the well-being of players, and he really cares about his players. No matter if they're still there or they're on different teams, he really cares about the relationships he has. And that's why he's successful.
Was there a way he helped you?
Say that one more time.
Was there a way that he helped you personally?
Yeah, I mean, just being him each and every day, learning from him and his experiences, and, you know, just we call it Fellowship Friday, where we just get together as you know, a group on Friday.
I call it happier.
Chit-chat. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, for some people they do, right?
Yeah. That's good, though.
Yeah, that was funny, though. That was good. I like that.
You want to be bringing that.
your happy Friday starts today, too, and tomorrow and the next day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. because I'm not working tomorrow.
Lots of happy hours this week for old Zoe there, yeah. Kyle.
Yeah, there's one of those every day. All right. Kyle, appreciate your time. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Enjoy the time off, or what time off you do get.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, fellas.
See you this weekend.
Care.
Thanks,
right,
buddy.
Take it easy. Kyle Van Noy joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Kyle Van Noy's head coach, Bill Belichick, will speak next hour, and when he does, we will carry it live. Go nowhere. More with Bert Breer next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
You want some good news? You want good news?
I got bad news for you. Give me bad news.
I only have good news. I've only got good news.
What's the good news?
11:36.
Yeah.
Excuse me. 12:36. At 12:36, we will give away the next Scotty's Kickoff Kid spot.
A little kid?
It's for the Kansas City game on December 8th.
It's for the kids.
Wow. My homie.
4-pack of tickets, 4 on-field passes.
Wow.
The autographed football.
Oh.
That's right.
Be a nice gift. You don't have to get the kid anything for Christmas. Just give it that.
Hey, Bledsoe, was Bledsoe at the game the other day?
He was at the game.
Because our Scotty's Kickoff Kid winners, the dad, who had called us and won,
yep,
he'd emailed me, and he said that he was like, oh, it was great, and we saw his kid run out and grab the tee at the opening kickoff. It was awesome. Jim and I saw it. And he said, yeah, and I just grabbed a selfie with Drew Bledsoe. And I'm like, oh.
Nobody knew.
That's a crazy.
Awesome. So he's just like quietly swung into town. That makes sense, though, because he played for the Cowboys.
Because
too.
Usually he's sort of visible and you see tweets or usually see pictures.
He had a wine event, I think, that developed and popped in last minute. And nobody knew. I don't think even Robert Sandler's knew that he was going to be there. So, yeah, kind of surprised everybody.
That's nice.
Yeah. Nice of him to call.
Very nice.
That town he lives in, by the way, is one of it's unbelievable.
It's Bend, right?
Is that Bend, is? Oregon is unbelievable. Yeah, I went up there to do a story with him. You want me to?
Yeah, I mean,
then you'd be done.
That nice. I mean, like that's where you want to reach.
Have you been there?
I have not.
It's incredible. It is
I heard it's like a cult.
There's no reason for anybody to go there, and you have to be like independently wealthy to live there because it's expensive to live there. But there's no commerce. But it's like
it's weird. I heard it's Weirdoville.
You look at one end of town. And there's like 3 golf courses. The other end of town, you see snow-capped mountains. You can ski in, yeah. Ski on. It's like, and the whole downtown is like neighborhood pubs and stuff like that. It's up in the mountains.
Hi, Mary.
It's unbelievable. It's just
good to see you.
Pleasantville.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
Pleasantville.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
No swearing, nothing.
Are there any?
I don't know about that. Is that right?
Commerce. You said there's no commerce, so there's bars.
Well, there's no big business there for there's no.
There's no Applebee's there, pal.
Yeah, probably property taxes are to the eyeballs. Who needs it? Yeah, I don't have the industry there to help offset. I'm not moving there. Forget it. Not doing it.
Hardy, out.
Those big houses, you know what it costs to heat those things? Forget it.
Clean them. Cook.
Oh, yeah, right?
Oh, that square footage.
I see these big houses, the light bill in those places? Forget it. Idiots.
Stupid.
Idiots. You imagine what the mulch bill is for a place like that? No
that
way.
Spray mulch.
Not me.
Not doing it. Not this guy.
Them little guys come out that spray mulch. Yep, big hose. They don't even mulch it by hand there.
Classic. You know how long it would take to shovel your driveway if you had to do it yourself?
Plow it. You probably have it heated. It melts.
Expense. More expenses.
I see those places. You know, the big long driveway leading up. How long does it take to shovel that damn thing? I ain't doing it. Nope, you can have that big house.
Your big driveway,
yeah,
and your gate at the end.
Yeah, have fun shoveling it all winter. Yeah. Idiot.
Yeah, great. 617-779-0985. So that giveaway is coming up at 12:36. We will do that. Bill Belichick is going to have a press conference sometime around 12:15. When he does that, we will carry that live. Let's get to the headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.